This is URN.
The Sports Show Breakdown.
Just had a yellow card for Sermon on for a tackle that he made on Hosolu, I believe. But yeah, this is a very, very counter-attacking game, and it looks like he's going to get even more pacey because Bournemouth look like they're preparing to bring on Juan Iturbe. So, what he can throw into the mix is going to be great to see Bournemouth counter-attacking play, and whether or not Stoke's defence can hold out for the last 20 minutes.
Goal. West Ham have pulled one back. It's Dimitri Payet, Kel Supreme.
Of course it is.
I think it was Moses who played absolutely brilliantly there to get inside. It was Victor Moses. He gets the ball just inside the Norwich half here from a knock-on. Runs pretty much into the penalty area. Tries to turn back. Is blocked. Somehow beats his defender after being taken down, it looked like. Forces Ruddy into a good save. Ball bounces across the box to Payet. You've seen them missed before. The defence almost managing to get three people back there. Two defenders on the line couldn't stop it. Two defenders between him and the goal couldn't stop it. Wonderful play from Victor Moses, even though he won't get the assist. As Gomez has just pulled one out from underneath his own bar. But it's game on at Carrow Road, and it is Norwich 2, West Ham 1.
West Ham well and truly back in the game then, and will be searching for a late equaliser. Freddie, do you want to turn?
Well, not many goals here. We've got two engrossing fixtures here at the moment, with both home sides pressing for an equaliser. Just a few moments ago, we've had Baftimi Gomez come on for Leon Britton for the Swansea, and they've started dominating the ball with man the match last week, Gylfi Sigurdsson, starting to see more of the possession, which is key to their chances of getting a goal. Similarly with Everton, Lennon starting to play really well, turning the defence and setting up chances for Lukaku, but still, as of yet, no goals for either side, so still 1-0 to the away sides in both games.
What a goal! West Ham have equalised!
Who is it?
Scared the life out of me.
Who was it?
It's Mark Noble. It's just flashed up on my screen. What good of in Scotland.
Our resident West Ham fans outside
here,
the studio celebrating that. That is an absolutely wonderful, wonderful strike.
Goodison,
I'll let them say it itself.
It was a very good goal, yeah.
A wonderful strike. Edge of the area, pretty central, right-footed, curling right into that top corner. What a wonderful, wonderful finish that is.
Callum, anyway.
That's a beautiful goal.
That's such a good finish.
Callum, do you think they can go on and win now?
I've been saying it all year. He's been getting a lot of stick on Twitter from West Ham fans, but he's the rock in our team. There's nothing like West Ham go as Mark Noble goes.
Captain, leader, not racist legend.
Thanks, boys. Now, James, what do you make of the race for sixth place? You've got Man United in fifth on 41 points, and then all the way down to Liverpool in 11th. Only 6 points separate those sides. West Ham, with that comeback today, what do you think that will do for their confidence going forward for the rest of the season?
I think it would do a lot. I think that one of the things that I hope this result causes is for Slaven Bilic to. It's very difficult because every single game at some point he starts three defensive midfielders. Three out of the four, Song, Kouyaté, Obiang or Noble, they all start in midfield, and Payet plays out wide. Perhaps that's just because of the absence of Lanzini, but regardless, he's nullified in comparison to his ability in the centre. Obviously they made some changes, Moses and Carroll came on, and that really completely kick-started West Ham, and that always seems to happen this season. We seem to start very slowly and then push forward. Hopefully that makes Bilic realised that perhaps we should start doing that earlier, almost, and hopefully that gets buoyed by Lanzini and Sacco coming back in the next couple of weeks. In terms of the race for sixth spot, it's Southampton, West Ham, Watford, Stoke, Everton and Liverpool you're sort of looking at here. Now,
I mean, you're not looking at Manchester United in that lot as well?
Well, I mean, I think
being
that...
Being dragged down, maybe.
I think that's
another thing as well, but I don't think West Ham will get there. Because we have these couple of games coming up are our easy fixtures. We have quite a hard run-in, which is obviously going to play against us. To add to that, it's been made perfectly clear by Bilic that he values the FA Cup over finishing in any sort of higher position in the Premier League, which I agree with as a West Ham fan. I much prefer the FA Cup than qualifying for Europe, although technically it's the same thing, I suppose. So I imagine that when it gets to that point where I think it'll be after this round, actually, when they start to be, you start to miss games and the fixture congestion sort of starts to pile up because they don't take a weekend off anymore for the FA Cup. It'll be that tied in with our tough running will, I think, rule us out of staying up there. You got to look at the other ones as well. I don't think Stoke really have the real trajectory. They seem to be very on and off and on and off and on and off. I just wonder whether it would be Southampton. You know, they seem to have managed to squeeze some form out of themselves. They had a pretty you know, poor start. But
I just wanted to ask, because I'll ask it again. I mean, I mentioned United. A few of the teams you've mentioned have got FA Cup commitments as well, and they'll start to miss fixtures. Manchester United also have Europa League to consider. They play Midtjylland this Thursday and next Thursday. I can't remember whether they're at home first. If they go further in that and progress in the FA Cup as well, and they've only got... And they've had a ridiculous run of games in the FA Cup this year. Sheffield United... can't remember who they had in the fourth
Derby.
Round. They had Derby in the last round, and they had someone else in the lower leagues in the round before that as well, and now they've got Shrewsbury. There's no one left below the Premier League that they're likely going to end up playing, especially if West Ham avoid a potential banana slip against, or a banana peel against Blackburn.
Yeah.
Do you not think that it's actually between the teams you've just mentioned, not for sixth, but for fifth?
It's an interesting question. The thing is it's all of those teams from sixth place all the way down to Liverpool in 11th. All of them have this amazing ability this season to screw up just when they could take it, just when they could grab it. They completely screw it up. Like even today, if West Ham had won, we would be in fifth place.
Didn't you in seventh? I mean, it's
exactly.
That close.
It's very close, and I just imagine that all of these teams will have these moments where they'll mess up. Man United obviously had a poor game today against Sunderland. Big samples of his one big club a year quota. You know, he always seems to get one big club scalp a year. And then again, you've got to bank on what does Louis van Gaal see as success this year? Does he see the FA Cup? Does he see a deep run into the Europa League, which in my opinion I think he'll just see as a nuisance? Or does he see it as possibly, you know, I mean, Champions League, in my opinion, is probably out of the question now, 6 points off, but getting as high as possible.
Yeah, 6 points off. I think the top four is pretty much safe.
I'd tend to agree with you there, yeah.
I mean, Freddie said it earlier about, you know, Spurs looking at that result and finding it the best of all. I actually think, if anything, it's not the top four that are looking at that result earlier today with the best of the most rose-tinted glasses. It's the teams below them, Southampton, West Ham, you know, Watford, all the way down through.
Particularly those teams that have come out of the transfer window and are happy with it's been a bit with their business. I think if you look at teams like Southampton that have snapped up Charlie Austin for $4 million, I think the depth of the squads in the Premier League, all the way from that fifth position down to, as you're saying, Liverpool in 11th place, I don't think you can pick a team with a really poor bench this season. There are not many teams in the Premier League that have just got a first 11 and thin squads. I think it's an accusation you can make of teams like Everton in the past few seasons, where they've really had a good first 6 months and dropped off towards the end as they started getting injuries. And the money coming into the Premier League over the last couple of years has really enabled teams that have a much larger squad depth. And I think that's definitely played a part in closing the gap between the top four and the rest.
But how many teams have now got extra fixtures to take care of? We've got Tottenham, Arsenal, City, United. Yeah. They've got European fixtures. There's one other club that I've forgotten. Chelsea. I was looking down the table and they're actually off the bottom of my that wasn't meant as a joke is the sad thing. They've all got extra fixtures to consider. The likelihood is that those in the Europa League have also got one extra double header to consider. A lot of those teams are still left in the FA Cup, so they don't for the most part need to have a massively deep squad now. It's not like they are still in four competitions and likely to get far in four competitions. There's a possibility that all three English teams will get knocked out in this round of the Champions League. Maybe a little bit, well, a lot less likely in the Europa League. So it's you're looking at Southampton, West Ham and Watford, who really only have the FA Cup and the Premier League to focus on, and United, who have the FA Cup, the Europa League and the Premier League. How Van Gaal treats that will be interesting, because all three of those teams, maybe Southampton and West Ham a bit more, can genuinely look at fifth place and say it's achievable.
We're going to go straight away to something that David Saunders feels very passionately about. Mesut Ozil this week has been linked by La Marca, I believe, with a move to Barcelona. Just weeks, days even, before Arsenal play Barcelona in the Champions League. David, go.
Well, you've hit the nail on the head exactly there. A week and a half before Arsenal play Barcelona in what can only be described as the most one-sided clash in the Champions League this year. I'm really disappointed you're nodding there, Freddie. You've always been up for the underdog. La Marca newspaper have indeed linked Mesut Ozil. They've said he's rejected a new contract, which we believe to be true. But then what they've said is what that means is that Barcelona are going to come in for him.
We gotta love those mind games. They're Champions League mind games once again.
Yeah. Hit the nail on the head. Can you imagine how much? I mean, if you remember when the World Cup bidding was going on, Panorama did a documentary saying that Russia and Qatar bought it. There was allegations of corruption, and the mind games were, we're going to do it, and that means they're going to think, oh, we can't give it to them. It'll clearly be corrupt. And it backfired spectacularly, and I'll be looking forward to, by the time my degree ends, getting my tickets to go to Russia 2018. So the mind games here being that, you know, La Marca have decided to print this story, which I've seen being reported as an exclusive in so many places. I've never heard of a story being an inclusive before, but it may as well be. you said go. You thought I was going to have a rant. Clearly haven't needed to. Because
there's still time on the show, mate.
But there's a rough agreement that it's a stupid thing to have done. It's clearly mind games. And that if there were any shred of truth in it whatsoever, we'd be interested in it. The truth is that he rejected his contract. Real Madrid still have first refusal. If Barcelona put a bid in for him, Real Madrid can not only say we will match it, but they also have a clause in the contract that says, or we believe, that says, no, you cannot sell him to a Spanish club of our choice.
Leicester have the opportunity to go 8 points clear at the top of the table should Tottenham and City draw, I believe.
Yeah, they'll go 7 points clear.
Seven points clear. Do we think Leicester have it in them to beat Arsenal?
Definitely. I mean, you know, last time out, Leicester weren't perhaps performing as well as they did. And, you know, it was the game where Sanchez got a hat-trick again. I believe Arsenal, 5-3? 5-2 that game. So I'm not sure if it will be quite a repeat of that fixture. You know, Leicester definitely have an opportunity to pull out even further and, you know, keep the dream alive. I think that even if they do perhaps maybe get a draw or lose against Arsenal, then I still think the dream's not over. I mean, look at their last three games. They played Liverpool, City, and then Arsenal. You know, if you get 6 points for Leicester out of those three games, it's absolutely amazing.
I think the key to this is the fact that Leicester don't have to win. I think a point is a fantastic result, and Leicester all season have won games such as this off the back of their counter-attacking football with Jamie Vardy's pace and Mahrez playing him in behind. And I think the key to this result is the fact Leicester could walk away with a point and be very happy, which means Arsenal have to Leicester goes to the Emirates and Arsenal have to beat them, and Arsenal are going to, and in their enigmatic style, have the possession and have the football, and I think they're going to be the team that's pressing, and I think that leaves them very vulnerable to a Leicester counter-attack, which, as you've seen before, undid City in a similar thing. City had to win the game, City pressed them and City got beaten on the counter-attack, and I think a very similar thing could happen here.
City didn't really get beaten on the counter-attack, did
two
they?
Robert Huth goals from corners,
isn't
it?
True.
But I mean, they got beaten. No, the first one wasn't from a corner. The first one was from a free kick that was given away because Mahrez decided to run at the defence. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I mean, Leicester do play a lot of counter-attacking football. But we've seen it against Arsenal before. We've seen it against Tottenham earlier in the year. Two teams playing fairly similar styles, actually, when you think about it. And against both of them, Leicester were ineffective. Even though they were in form, they were ineffective. And why that was is because even though they can counterattack, and even though they may be up against some of the slowest defenders in the Premier League, in Mertesacker and Mertesacker.
The other two are pretty fast, isn't he?
I've read rumours that Gabriel is out with a little injury.
Don't know whether that's true or not.
But Jamie Vardy said Laurent Koscielny was the best defender he's played against this year.
Laurent Koscielny is a fabulous defender.
The point I'm making is that Leicester will try and play the same tactics they did against City, but Jack summed it up excellently. Leicester, we said, if they can come into these run of fixtures they've got, Liverpool, Manchester City, Arsenal, and keep pace at the top of the table, they will be happy. And they haven't just kept pace, they've set the pace. Even if they lose, they will be at least 2 points clear. With no other fixtures to consider whatsoever, they won't have any FA Cup, they won't have any European football fixtures to consider, which all the other teams around them do in both competitions.
This is URN.
The Sports Show Breakdown.